If you'll open your Bibles this morning to James, the book of James, chapter 4. I'm going to read part of verse 7, James 4, 7. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Game Changer, Game Changer. Thus saith the Lord, James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God. One of the things I love about the Bible is it's absolute in everything it covers. It's very succinct. It covers everything, and it does it perfectly. Four words, therefore submit to God. Before we look at that, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds. God, as we come to this wonderful passage, this command, we do pray, Holy Spirit, you'd walk amongst us. And again, I would ask that if there's one listening online or here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that today they would meet Christ in their heart. And pray, Lord, you would draw them to yourself through him. And for the rest, Lord, pray that this message would go out and accomplish what you put it on my heart to preach as it pleases you, Lord. Have it come back to you with the fruit that you want it to bear. Big game changer in my life. I went in the Navy when I was 17, got out when I was 21, served my 4 years, and it changed my life. But by far, and I know we all have situations that we've had in our lives that have changed our lives a bit, but by far, the greatest game changer in any human life or anyone will ever experience is to submit themselves to God or not. Now, the term game changer, you know, a lot of people have different meanings of it, but it refers to some dramatic event that occurs in your life that changes it, that makes it different, that moves your path, that makes you think different. That's a game changer. Things like some people get an inheritance and it's a game changer in their life. The birth of a child, I can tell you, is a game changer. Your life is not the same anymore. Bad decisions can be a game changer. A job can be a game changer. Marriage could be a game changer. Anything that affects your life in a major way is a game changer. But again, the greatest game changer is the command of our text. Therefore, submit to God. Nothing in this world trumps that. Those four words, and the reason is because those four words contain within it a seed to an unimaginable life, both now and forevermore. There's a seed in it. And that applies to both the lost and the saved. Submitting or not submitting to God is the greatest game changer anyone will ever experience, one way or the other. Now, unfortunately, as most of you know, the world, most of the world anyway, they reject the command to submit to God. They reject it. They don't want God. Proof verse, Matthew 7:14. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There is so much hostility towards God today in our country, and I'll only speak for our country, but it covers really the whole world. There's so much hostility for it today, more than it's ever been before, that mentioning God to family even, before there was a time, well, you know, I don't believe that, I believe this, you'd be able to talk about it no more. They don't want to talk about God. And their refusal, and their refusal to submit to God is the reason why their life is so difficult, and they never realize it. I didn't realize why my life was so difficult before I became a Christian. I just thought, well, that's Murphy's Law. You know, something bad's going to happen. Tomorrow, something good will happen. That's how I lived. That's how the world lives. And their refusal to submit to God is the reason. And John 5:40 backs that up. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. That's what Jesus told the people that were following him. You can't hear my words Because you don't want to follow me. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Those are some of the things that he said to people who were just following him. Today, we would call people like that a tare, a counterfeit Christian. And the evangelical church is filled with those people who have a cross. They have a building. They have hymnals, a pew. They fill up the things with the pews with people and programs. And that's it. And you leave just as empty as you came in. There's no thirst. The world is filled with them. They're counterfeits. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. There's one truth, one God, and not everybody can be right. And if you're outside of this book, you're not right, at least with the God of this book. That's what he said. The result of worldlings, if you will, or tares, of not submitting their lives to Christ, genuinely submitting them. I can't tell you how many people said, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, how are you doing living for Christ? Well, I'm working on that. No, you're not working on it. You're either doing it or you're not doing it. It's that simple. The result of it is they don't serve God, they serve themselves. There's only two people you'll serve, only two people. You'll either serve Christ or you'll serve yourself. Everything else tempts you to do that, but those are the two people that you will serve, Christ or yourself. And they're serving the devil. If you're not submitting to God, you're submitting to the devil. Here's Jesus says that in John 8:44. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of his will you want to do. He doesn't just say he's your father. He says you want to do his will, which means you want to do evil. The unregenerate soul wants to do evil. We're asked to pray for America. How do you pray for a country that wants to do evil? How? Country's made up of people. And if the majority of the people want to do evil, how do you pray for them other than for their salvation? And to remind God that we are not children of wrath. Means if a person won't submit to God, if you will not submit to him, that is in itself a game changer, isn't it? That negatively, a negative game changer that changes their lives now, today, and changes it forevermore. Without the submitting to God, a person's life is whittled down to just surviving day to day. No purpose for life, none whatsoever. Ephesians 2:19, Paul was telling the Ephesians in that verse, he was telling them what life was like without Christ before they came to know Christ. He said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promises, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's God's view of somebody who won't submit to him. That's their life. Now that verse tells us just how game-changing not submitting to God is. First of all, you're alienated from God. Second of all, you have no claim to God's blessings. I can't tell you how many times people have said, oh, I'm a Christian, I pray, and I've been blessed with this, and I've been blessed with that. Poppycock. Remember this. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So it isn't as if you're not submitting to God or you're claiming Christ and not living for him that things don't happen in your life that seem like God is blessing you. He is. But not in the way that he should be or could be. Another thing, you have no hope in this world or the eternity. Do you understand that the reason why we have road rage, the reason why we have neighbor wars, the reason why it seems like lawlessness rules is because people have no hope. We have no hope in this country. It's been given up. There's so many factions on either side and everybody's fearful. What is America hoping in? What are we hoping in today? There's no hope. And we go from problem to problem. People without Christ go from one situation to another situation, a temporary lull, another situation to another situation. That's all they do. They live like a little fox. A little fox do that. I like that analogy because it so fits. Little fox goes out every day to look for breakfast, look for lunch, look for dinner. Then it goes back to its den, spends the night, gets up and does it again the next day. All the fox wants to do is live to the next day and get his lunch and dinner. That's it. And that's how people who don't submit to God live their lives every day. And your joy, the joy of people who don't submit to God, is temporary and it's conditional. Before I was saved, I had happy days. I had happy weeks, but mainly not. It was all based on what was going on in my life. If things were going on good in my life, then I was very joyful. If it wasn't, then I was a little grumpy. And always dictated by the situation, what was going on in my life and going on in my head. That's what it is to not submit to Christ. That's the only joy you can have. And my point is, without God, without hope, without divine help, a lost soul's quality of life is dismal at best. You don't know it. If you're listening to this and, you know, you don't know Christ, you're probably thinking that this is all foolishness. Well, 1 Corinthians 2:14 would tell you that. The natural man doesn't discern the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned, and neither can he know them. And Romans 8:7 says, if you don't like what I'm saying, that the carnal mind is hostile to God. So all of those things are all covered by God, but they are the truth. And Ecclesiastes 1:14 says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. That's God's version of having no purpose in life but yourself. And that's really what it boils down to. People live for themselves, their families, that's it. And every believer, every one of you listening and sitting in this room today are a witness to that, because that's how you once lived, and now you don't. Now you live for Christ, because therefore submit to God is something that you did. You followed that command. He led you to that, to follow that command by calling you into his kingdom. And there's even more game changers that the lost have to deal with every day. To begin with, man was created by God to be an object to worship him. To be the object of God's love, rather. Jeremiah 31:3 says that I have called you with loving kindness. I have loved you with an everlasting love. He created all of earth in 5 days, and on the sixth day it was his final thing. He created it for man. He wanted man to be the object of his love. He did. To love him, he wanted to walk with him in the cool of the day. He wanted to love him. He wanted him to worship. He wanted them to worship him, to have fellowship with him, and to spend eternity with him. That was the whole plan. That was the whole plan. God wanted to have a fellowship with his creation. And he made the world and the universe and everything in it as a backdrop. And we, Adam and Eve, mankind, was the crowning touch to creation. But the game changer came when Adam decided he didn't like God's plan too much. And his sin that he committed against God didn't just change his life, it changed the life of all mankind. Romans 5:12 gives us an idea of the game changer that was. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? Because we all sin. We inherited original sin. That is the nature to sin, and we will sin. And ever since Adam was kicked out of paradise to this very moment, this very day, man wants nothing to do with God. He doesn't. The God of the Bible, put it that way. Romans 1:21 tells us that. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see what a game changer that is? Do you understand that? If you're going to church because you like the music, because you have friends that go there, if you go to church because they have programs there, if you go to church for any reason other than learning about Christ, growing in Christ, You're going for the wrong reasons. There's nothing there for you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Romans 8, 7. I mentioned that before, a moment ago. That man is hostile to God. And going to churches like that, or even having false God, same thing. There, it's a hostility towards the sovereign God. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it can't. Before I was saved, I didn't want to know anything about God's law. I didn't even think there was a God. I thought it was all made up by man. But as soon as he opened up my eyes and I saw myself and my sin against him in relation to that, everything changed. I wanted God. I wanted all I could get of him. And I still do. And that's a huge game changer because for the hostility of man, because those perishing must live in bondage to sin. I was living in bondage to sin, and so were you. We just didn't know it. 2 Timothy 2:25, 26. I'm giving you these verses to show you these aren't opinions. These are God's word, taken in context to what I'm saying. Paul writes to Timothy, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, and here it comes, that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I was doing Satan's will and didn't even know it. I didn't even get paid. Nothing. And I was doing it, and so were you. Another game changer for the lost. And if you're, and this really is addressed to people that don't know the Lord, is that I had a totally depraved mind, and so did you. Spiritually speaking, my mind was totally depraved. How do I know that's true? Because the unregenerated mind is powered by self-righteousness, human wisdom, animal instinct, and most of all, an addiction to feed our flesh. Period. These are the compasses the unsaved use to guide them through their life. That's what I use. That's what you use. Imagine that. And since a depraved mind is blind to the truth by Satan, we see that they can only see what they're allowed to see. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. When you go through life, you look at life and everyday events, you're either going to look at it through fleshly eyes or carnal eyes, you're going to look at through God's eyes, spiritual eyes. That's the only way you can look at it. And before Christ, you have no choice. You're always looking at it through carnal eyes. What's in it for me? How can I benefit from it? How will it help me? All of those things come to mind. When you look at things for spiritual, example, you go in a store and somebody says things that are hurtful. Before I was saved, I'd get angry. I'd say, well, who are you talking to? Why would you talk to me that way? Blah, 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 blah. And there was no resolution to it. I'd walk away angry. Even if the person apologized, I wouldn't forget it. Now, look at it through spiritual vision. I go into a store and somebody's rude to me. The first thing that goes through my mind is, Lord, I got to pray for this person. First thing that goes through my mind is that man has no peace in his heart. Another thing that goes through my mind is not only does he have any peace, something is pricking his heart and hurting him, and he's taking it out on me. Lord, grant me the wisdom and the strength to help him in any way I can. That's spiritual vision. That's loving your enemy. That's the difference between looking at things with carnal eyes or with spiritual eyes. You see things with spiritual eyes as they truly are. With carnal eyes, you're seeing it through your flesh, what your biases are, what your feelings are. All that did for me was get me in a lot of trouble. That's what it got for me. But by far, the greatest game changer the lost will ever face, the greatest one, will come into play when they leave this world and enter the eternal realm. At that, I can tell you from firsthand experience again that I have talked to many people about the Lord. And many people have told me, no, it doesn't work for me. I'm good the way I am. The church is going to get me where I need to be in heaven. I'm going with them, all that. I can absolutely tell, and this is what I told him, I can absolutely promise you one thing about our conversation. If that's true and you continue on the path that you're on, I can absolutely guarantee you that when you leave this world, the first thing you'll think of is our conversation. That's the first thing you're going to think of, because you're going to be in the outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Because when you leave here, if you leave here with your sin, that's where you're going to end up. And you're going to know that I told you that it didn't have to be, but you chose to do it. That's the greatest game changer for the lost. If a person dies without submitting to God on judgment day, they'll be thrown into the eternal lake of fire. Jesus promises that in Matthew 13, 49 and 50. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's Christ's word. That's God's word that's going to happen. So I ask you, if you're listening to this, okay, what a game changer that is, huh? And that is by far the biggest one you'll ever face. By refusing to submit yourselves to God, the sacrifice that cross represents, by refusing to accept that, those perishing will suffer physical pain and torment beyond their understanding. Revelation 14:11 bears that out. He says, John writes, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and there is no rest day or night. There's no rest, which means there's no escape, there's no hope, there's no time, there's no parole, there's no time off for good behavior. There's only the promise that all suffering will never cease. How do we know that's true? In Luke, the rich man and Lazarus, what did he ask Abraham to do? Have Lazarus come down and put a drop of water on his tongue. Why? Because he was dying of thirst. He was suffering. This is the final game changer that's awaiting all who disobey the command that submit yourself to God, for all who refuse to come to Jesus Christ. And you know, the funny thing about that is I didn't understand it then, and I don't really truly understand it now. Why, if you're living your life and you see it's a struggle and you know, you absolutely know that there's a God, why you wouldn't call upon Him, the only God, Jesus Christ, to come into your life? And all you have to do to have that salvation is to simply say, Lord, forgive me. Don't we teach our kids that? Don't we do that? Isn't it right if we've sinned against God, and you can say you're good, but we're all liars. There's not a person living that hasn't lied except Jesus Christ. Other than Him, every single human being is a liar at some time or point in their life, and that offends God. And all you have to do is come to Christ. And you may not even remember your sins, but all you need to do is, with a contrite heart, look to Christ and say, Lord, I've sinned against You. I want salvation from that. I want freedom from that. I want to know the truth, and I want the truth to set me free. God, forgive me my sins. I beg You in Christ's name, for they are many. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, it says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean? That means if you come to God and you have it in your heart that you want Him to forgive you, He will forgive you. And then that's the game changer for the Christian. Now your whole life's different. If you ever knew somebody that was saved that really had a dramatic change, it's because of Jesus Christ. There's no other reason. Life is too boring and dull to change anything. Sure, okay, some things happen in life that seem that way, but it's not the same as coming to know Christ. And so the question is, what are you waiting for? What game changer is going to be better for you now and for eternity than coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And it doesn't cost you anything except to repent of your sin for doing something against your sovereign creator. That's all it is. If you want to know more about that, you call me if you're online or see me after the service, and I'll show you. You want a game changer in life? I'll show you a game changer you won't ever get over, both now and forevermore. But for those of us who have obeyed the command, for believing Christians, therefore submit to God, every day is a positive game-changing event that takes place in our life. Every day. Every day, something happens in my life because of Christ and my life, the way it's going, that changes my day in a big way. It can be the way I see something, a situation happen. It could be a phone call. It could be reaching out to somebody and helping them in their life, doing something. Because it's never about me. That's the thing about being with Christ. It's always about Christ first, then others, then myself, my family, then myself, last. That's the game changer. Your focus is no longer on self. Your focus is on others. It's on Christ, but it's on others as well. That's the big game changer. Not to mention, when you submit to God, truly submit to God by living for Him, all the blessings of heaven belong to you. You can claim them. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all heavenly blessings in heavenly places." They're yours. And all you have to do to claim them is keep sin out of your life. When it comes in, confess it, get rid of it, and then go claim the blessings for it. Live for Jesus. And He gives you all the power to do that. You can claim all the game changers you need to get through your day. What kind of confidence do you have if you know for a fact that the sovereign God says to you, "Wink, all things will work together for you good, for your good, because God loved you and called you according to His purpose. Everything's going to work out for your good. And I don't care if you make bad decisions and you land up shedding blood. I don't care what it is. It's going to work out for your good." What kind of confidence do you have going through your day, realizing that no matter what's going on in my family, I can have peace of mind and heart in knowing that even that's going to work out for my good. And all I have to do is love them a little more. And sometimes loving family is difficult. You understand that? That's confidence. That's a game changer. Go out into the world and ask people what their confidence is in. Do it. Go up to your family. Say, in this world, what are you confident about? What's the thing you have the most confidence in? Well, I have confidence in the government. Well, that's your first. No, just teasing. I don't want to get you guys going. And how about strengthening your faith? How about strengthening your faith and strengthening your attitude with Romans 8:31? If God be for us, who can be against us? What about that? Can you get through a day with that? I mean, have you not went to work and had one of those days where all of a sudden it seemed like you were only about 3 feet tall because the world beat you down from 5'8" to 3 foot tall because of all the things going on? But then, you know, God is for you. Who's going to be against you? So what if people don't like you? So what if this happens and that happens? God is for you. Understand what that means. That means that the sovereign creator who has power over all things is for you. He's your friend. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to uphold you with His right hand. What about that? And what about forgiveness? You know, forgiveness is so big in life, and so few people really do it sincerely. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." How many times have you went up to somebody that you've offended and said, "You know, John, I want to tell you I'm really sorry I did that. Would you forgive me?" John's going to say, "Yeah, you know, you came up and said that. You confessed it. So you know what? Yeah, I forgive you." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Because if he's unsaved, it's always in his mind. Well, he did it once. He'll do it again. Jesus says, "You come to me with your sins and confess them to me and repent of them, and I'll forgive you, and we won't bring it up again." It's done. What kind of a game changer is that to know that I can go through life knowing that that sovereign God is my friend, that he's for me, that all things are going to work out for my good, and when I offend him, he'll forgive me. Think about that. What a game changer that is. And how about the comfort of knowing in those dark nights when it seems like you're going to drown in pain and grief? You remember Psalm 23, 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table for me before my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. It doesn't mean when you're dying. It means when you're going through life and it seems like it's killing you. That's what it means. I'm there with you. I'll anoint your head. I'll guide you. I'll deliver you. All you have to do is walk and believe. What kind of a game changer is that in life? That being said, it's also true that God's blessings to his people are only in proportion to how much you've submitted to him, how much of your life you've submitted to him. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. What he's basically saying is this: if you come to God and you're living for God, you're sowing. And in sowing, you'll reap. You'll reap the blessings of what you sow. Your time with God, your worship of God, your study of God, your prayer life with God, your fellowship with the saints. All those things are necessary in a believer's life. Because why? Because it fulfills all the other things that helps them get through this world. Do you understand that? This book is not to be memorized, although it is. The main purpose of this book is to show you how to survive in a world that's drenched in sin. There's no other purpose for it. It's a book of applications. It's not a book of morals, although it is. Its primary purpose is to be doers of the word. And you can only do that if you read it and if you try to live it as best you can every single day. And I'll close with this. The soul, the individual who makes God the focus of their life, there's no limit to game changers they can claim. None. And we know that's true because Jesus Christ is the game changer in every life that trusts in him. And he will walk with you and I, brothers and sisters, through the furnace of life. When we submit, he'll fight for us. He'll protect us. He'll deliver us. And he promises that he will never leave nor forsake us. And you know why? Because the game changers that we have include victory over sin. We have victory over Satan. We have victory over demons and devils. We have victory over the world, and we have victory over death in the grave. It's all done. And when we die, we don't die. We don't cease to live. We're just transformed. The same way a caterpillar doesn't cease to live when it metamorphosizes into a butterfly. As spiritual creatures, that's exactly what happens to us. Unless we forget, the greatest game changer is our hope in eternal life. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. For all of these reasons, I tell you without a doubt, the greatest game changer in any person's life is to obey the command to therefore submit to God.